You're listening to The Green on Delaware Public Media, and I'm Tom Byrne. A 200-year-old hilltop mansion in Wilmington that once faced demolition now has a new lease on life. The Brown House is expected to offer apartments and community space under an agreement between the Wilmington Housing Partnership and a local developer. Contributor Larry Nagengast has followed the long and often winding road the Brown House has taken to reach this point, and this week reports on this new agreement to reimagine the historic Browntown property in his latest piece, available at DelawarePublic.org. And Larry joined me earlier this week to discuss what he learned. So before we look at the future of the Brown House, remind us about its history. What makes it special?
Well, the house was named after Dr. John A. Brown, who was one of its early owners. And the Browntown neighborhood in Wilmington was named in his honor. The house was built sometime between 1819 and 1827 by Jeremiah Wolston, who was a banker, a businessman, and an abolitionist. And it was originally part of a 100-acre farm that was then outside what had been the Wilmington city limits. Now, the next owner of the house was a Captain John Gallagher, who was a Navy officer during the War of 1812, and he named the house the Anchorage in honor of his naval service. And in fact, there's now an Anchorage Street in Browntown, just a little ways down from the mansion. Dr. Brown acquired the house from Gallagher, and he owned the house from 1848 to 1856. And he is the one who's believed to have added the Victorian towers that are on the west side of this four-story farmhouse. Dr. Brown was a prominent figure in Wilmington. He was known for producing and selling mineral tonics. He built a home for the poor, the sick, and the insane, and he cared for wounded soldiers during the Civil War. In addition to that, he built a community near the current Amtrak rail line exclusively for black residents of the city. Among the later owners of the mansion were George and Howard Vernon, who were editors of the Daily Republican, which was a newspaper that was one of the predecessors of the News Journal. But for all of its distinguished history, this house has pretty much been vacant for 30 years, and it was acquired by the Wilmington Housing Partnership in 2015.
So what is the plan for the building now? Who are the key players who are trying to keep the house, as I said, kind of largely intact?
Well, the plan to restore the mansion involves converting it into a six-unit apartment building with large rooms available on the first floor for the residents of the Browntown community to use. The key players here are the Zahav Group and Jane Katznilson. Zahav is a real estate development business that has an office in Wilmington, and it has developed projects in many states along the East Coast. Katznilson is a real estate investor who's got an interest in historic properties. She's now the resident curator at Woodstock, which is a historic home in Newcastle County's Banning Park, and Katznilson actually restored the home under a special program with the county. Zahav's partners say that Katznilson will be responsible for overseeing the details of the historic restoration aspects of this project.
So this new path forward is a far cry from where things stood back in 2021 when this building faced demolition. How did it get to that point, and what was the plan back then to reimagine the property?
Well, a couple of years after acquiring the Brown House, the Wilmington Housing Partnership ran into some financial troubles, and it started to offload its properties. It put out a request for proposals for developers to take over the house, but it found no takers. Then, in late 2020, the city decided that its best option was to have the house demolished, and that would require approval from the city's Design Review and Preservation Commission because the house is listed on the National Register of Historic Places.
So with that in mind, how did the Brown House avoid the wrecking ball, and how do we wind up with this current apartment plan?
Well, two things happened. First, that Wilmington Design Review Board determined that the city's request for demolition didn't satisfy the standards to allow this to happen. At about the same time, a group of historic preservation advocates and Browntown residents got together, and they were going to fight the demolition proposal and try to figure out alternative uses for the property. Now, those discussions between the preservationists and the community went back and forth, on and off, for 2 years. And the residents and the preservationists weren't always on the same page. But finally, they came to some sort of an agreement. And in April of last year, Jane Katz Nelson, on behalf of the Zahoff people and the Wilmington Housing Partnership, went to the city's Zoning Board of Adjustment with their plan for apartments. Now, they had to go to the Zoning Board to secure a variance because Browntown is zoned residential, and that classification for residential zoning did not allow for apartment buildings. It was for single, essentially Browntown is a single family residential neighborhood.
So as you kind of alluded to there, there were some issues kind of getting to this final agreement and getting people on the same page, including settling on what the realistic cost of doing the work to restore the building would be. A building, as you mentioned earlier, has been vacant since the 1990s. What can you tell us about that issue, the cost of this kind of rehab work and the impact on the project?
Well, you know, the first thing that they had to do was they had to show the Board of Adjustment that repurposing this old mansion as apartments was indeed going to be the best use for the house. And that meant showing, among other things, that it wasn't realistic financially to restore it as a single-family residence, and that converting it to apartments would be an asset to the community and not a detriment. Now, one of the other issues in working with the city was approximating what that restoration would realistically cost. When the city was pushing for demolition, it claimed it would cost $1 million or more to make it habitable. Essentially, the city saying that, you know, this is, you know, too expensive a project for us to even consider. At about that time, Jane Katz Nelson went back to the city and said that she could do the work for in the neighborhood of $200,000 or so. And, you know, the city was kind of skeptical of thinking that the work could be done at that price. So, you know, in essence, what's going on here is the city couldn't find anybody willing to invest as much as $1 million there, and it was very skeptical about turning the property over to someone who would spend far less than that on restoration. So again, the city and the prospective developers are going back and forth, and by the time they were ready to go to the Zoning Board of Adjustment last year, Zahoff came up with an estimated cost of $700,000 plus a 25% allowance for contingencies. Now, that 25% would help cover any unexpected costs associated with issues, things that you can't see until after you dig deep into the work of restoring a 200-year-old building. So, you know, with that number in mind, everybody seemed to be in agreement that they've got a reasonable figure at least to talk about seriously going forward.
So this plan does mean a historic building will survive, but is it really a true preservation of the building?
Well, no, I think going into the language that the preservation community uses, it's accurate to describe this project as adaptive reuse. And that means taking a property with historic significance, preserving whatever it can be preserved, and giving it a new and meaningful life that is different from what the original owners intended. Now, when they're done, the exterior is going to look much like it does now, spruced up, of course, and inside, to the extent possible, the walls, the floors, the fireplaces and staircases are going to be retained. But the apartments are going to have 21st century amenities, and all of that infrastructure, you know, the electrical, the plumbing, heating, cooling, is going to have to comply with city building codes.
So what is the timeline for this project getting going?
Well, the agreement with the Wilmington Housing Partnership and Zahoff Group is going to be signed this week, and the partnership is giving Zahoff a $175,000 mortgage on the property. But that mortgage will be forgiven if Zahoff completes its restoration work and has the building ready for occupancy in 18 months, which would be March of 2026. Now, the agreement also allows Zahoff to ask for a 6-month extension, and given the surprises that often occur in restoration work, I think an extension is pretty likely. So Zahoff does have a real incentive to wrap up the work within the timeline, and because if it doesn't, it would then be on the hook for the mortgage, and that would add substantially to the overall cost of the project. Taken together, all this means that it's pretty reasonable to conclude that this project is going to be wrapped up in September of 26.
One thing we haven't talked about, but you have reported on previously when we've looked at this story, is the 5-acre parcel adjacent to the Brown House. Any update on what's going on with that?
Well, back in 2020 and 2021, when the city was pushing to have the mansion demolished, the idea was to have a developer come in and build 40 or so townhomes on the entire site. When the residents and preservationists started fighting the demolition, the city split the site into two properties. There's nearly an acre where the mansion sits, and there's about 5 acres with a significant downhill slope to the east. The city is still talking with a development partnership about building 30 or so townhouses, but there are some issues here. The builder they're talking with, which is a national company, likes to deal with larger projects, usually in suburban areas. And most builders prefer a flat terrain, which makes it a little bit easier to line up their townhouses and use similar schematics and plans for each unit. So reading between the lines here, I'd say that the city is going to keep on talking with the developers. It's eventually going to find one, perhaps the ones that they're talking with now. But an agreement might be months away, and it might even be longer than that.
So ultimately, Larry, does this feel like a win for the Browntown neighborhood?
Yeah, I'm going to say yes, it does, even though Bob Weir, who's the head of the Wilmington Housing Partnership, says he still gets occasional calls from people who did want to have the mansion torn down. Now, the agreement does preserve the mansion, which was once named, which was once owned by the man for whom the Browntown community is named. So once restored, it's going to serve as a daily reminder of Dr. John Brown's legacy. And it may also inspire others to dig more deeply into the history of the house and the neighborhood, and there are a lot of stories going around about that history, and which have yet to be substantiated. Besides providing housing, the restored mansion will give the community a gathering place for its neighborhood meetings, and that's something that it has lacked for about 10 years. So Wilmington Zoning Board of Adjustment did conclude that preserving the mansion would enhance the character of the neighborhood, and I would definitely have to agree with him on that.
Thanks to contributor Larry Nagengast for his time this week. His piece on the future of the historic Brown House in Wilmington is available at DelawarePublic.org. Next up, we examine how recently signed legislation changes the way city and county governments in Delaware plan for climate change. This is The Green on Delaware Public Media.